Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks for coming tonight. I mean, what a crowd. Amen. You know, this is our first Wednesday night back in the sanctuary, so it's like kind of getting your bearings again here a little bit, you know, versus now we got a giant stage versus that small stage that we had down there. But pastors greet you, so Pastor Mike will be up at the end to receive the offering and the tithes and whatnot, and so it's always a little easier doing it when he's not here, I'll just tell you that. But we're going to get through this. Amen. Amen. So actually, Pastor started a series. It's been a few weeks ago now. It was on the parable of the sower. And obviously, this last Sunday was Easter Sunday. The Wednesday before, we didn't have church because we were getting the sanctuary ready and so forth. I shared a couple messages on the parable of the sower, but today or tonight, we're going to kind of finish this thing out, hopefully. There might be maybe another one after this. I'm not going to make any promises either way, but again, we're talking about the parable of the sower. Jesus said, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand any of the other ones? So again, it's very important. Amen. And so there's three accounts of this: Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. And I would encourage you guys, you know, get in there and study those. Read them from different translations and so forth. Really get this into your heart, into your spirit. Tonight we're going to be teaching out of Luke chapter 8. You know, the previous few we actually did out of Mark chapter 4. But again, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and I'll catch up with you here in a moment. I'm going to give a little bit of background, and you know, Brother Hagin always taught, every time he taught, he would go back over what he taught previously, and then he would just continue to add layer upon layer, and faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God over and over and over. So each time you hear, you're going to hear something a little bit new, maybe a little bit different. So again, that's why we repeat ourselves. Amen? Amen. So again, you can read this from a few different perspectives. Tonight, I want you to really listen from the perspective of the hearer, you know, the reader of the word, and really judging your own heart, judging the soil of your heart, because we all want to have good ground, right? We all want to produce that hundredfold harvest. When the incorruptible seed goes into our heart, we want it to produce that harvest, you know, and otherwise, if not, you know, if you're not judging your heart, you can move backward with this. I know Pastor had taught where, you know, the four types of the soil, you can progress into having that fertile soil, but you can also regress into, you know, into having the thorny heart and the stony ground and whatnot, you know, and that's not what any of us want to do. And then the second perspective is obviously the perspective of a sower, somebody that's out sowing the seed, sowing the word into people's lives, into, you know, first and foremost, your most important ministry is behind the four walls. If you're a mother or father, you know, to your spouse and to your children, you know, then in the marketplace, maybe it's where you work, or if you've got a business or whatever it is, you know, you are also a seed sower. You don't have to, you know, stand in the office of a pastor. We are all ministers of the gospel. Amen. But you got to step up into that rightful place. And in recognizing this, as a sower, only 1/4 of the hearts actually produce fruit, only 25%. So it's, again, recognizing that and not getting frustrated with it. It is what it is. If you're in sales and you know, for every 10 sales calls you make, you're going to make one sale. You know, for every 100, it's 10. So again, you just continue to do the math. The great thing is about sales is you can improve your performance, and, you know, it might be 2 out of 10 and then 3 out of 10. And as you grow and develop, it's that way. And I believe it's the same way here. You know, not just 25% of you are going to receive just receive tonight, and the other 3/4 are not. I believe all you're going to receive tonight, because it's up to you. Amen? Amen. So before we get into the parable, 1 Peter 1:23, we talked about this incorruptible seed. It says, 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's the seed that we're born again by the word of God. It lives and abides forever. And again, that word incorruptible means it's incapable of being corrupted. It's not subject to decay like earthly seeds are. Amen? The Passion Translation says it this way. I love this. It says, in this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. Amen? Amen. You know, this earth tent, this is going to go back to the dust. But again, our spirit man and our soul, they're going to go on and live forever. And the seed of the Word of God is what's going to carry us, right? It's going to produce that harvest in our lives. And it never dies. It's never destroyed. It's going to grow inside of us forever. And that's good news. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 5 here. This is the parable of the sower. So it says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and this is the stony heart, as they talk about in Mark and Matthew. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground. It sprang up, and it yielded a crop 100-fold. Amen. That's what we're all looking for. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he wasn't talking about these ears. He was talking about these ears, these spiritual ears. Amen. The soil of our heart, it needs to be fertile soil so that we can hear what he's talking about. And again, to reiterate, these four kinds of hearts. So as you're listening, figure out where your heart's at tonight. Amen. And how to progress into this good heart if it's not already there. Number one, it's that wayside heart. Number two, it's that stony heart. Number three, it's that thorny heart. And finally, again, it's the good heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 9, we continue on. This is the Amplified. I like how this says this. Now his disciples began asking him what this parable meant, because they're sitting around and they're like, yeah, we're a farming community. You know, why are you sitting here talking about scattering seed? We know this stuff. We get it. We understand it, right? And so they're saying, hey, you know, what do you mean by just telling this natural story? In verse 10, he said, to you who have been chosen, say, God chose me.
God chose me.
To you who have been chosen, it has been granted to know and recognize the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Think about that. He has chose you to know and recognize the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is in parables, so that though seeing they may see, and hearing they may not understand. You know, my wife reconnected with an old childhood friend here a month or so ago. They ran into each other in Hy-Vee, and then they went out and had lunch, a three-hour-long lunch, and just reconnected and, you know, talked about childhood things. But then, of course, you know, it turned into talking about spiritual things. And this gal got, you know, married in a denominational church and has been going there for the last 25 or so years. We actually went to their wedding. This was BC, so, you know, whatever happened there. But that being said, you know, they had this conversation, and it was just, you know, she didn't come home judging her friend and critical of her, but she came home grateful for the word that's been preached here at Faith Family Church that's been sown in her hearts and in our hearts for the last 20 years. Because here's what she said. She said, you know, they kind of pursued the things of the world, right? You know, you go out and you get the career, you get married, you have kids, you do all the things that the world says is going to bring you success. But yet she was found lacking. She was, you know, her husband doesn't have a really good relationship with their teenage daughter, and there's strife and fighting, and she just knows that things could be a lot better behind the four walls. She said she went on a missions trip over, you know, somewhere where they spoke Spanish, and she was in this Spanish service, and she goes, I didn't even understand what they were saying, but I could just tell they were praising God, they were dancing, and just how she felt in that environment, she knew that she was missing something. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, why do I say that? Hosea 4:6, it says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. The knowledge that you have and the data that's been spoken into you and poured into you, the information, whether it's about your faith or your family, your personal health and fitness or your finances, it's a matter of life or death. Amen. And this gal didn't really understand all that. It, you know, the Bible says this, it says, I've put before you life and death, right? Blessings and cursings. And then he goes on to say, and choose life. You know, choose life. Like, why would he have to tell us to choose life? But again, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you get the wrong knowledge, the wrong information, you're going to head down the wrong path. You know, they always say, if, you know, when you're climbing the ladder to success, be careful and make sure that the ladder is on the right wall, right? Because when you get up to the top, you might look over and not like, you know, where you put that ladder at. And, what, you know, again, she came home grateful because of the word of God that's been preached here at Faith Family Church. Why do I say that? It's been, you've been chosen to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The secret things of God, you've been chosen to know that. But that's not for us to just hide within our own hearts and keep within, you know, the four walls of this church. This is to go out into, you know, our highways and byways, into where we're to minister and so forth, just like she did with her girlfriend. Amen? Amen. Let's continue on here. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says this. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You think about that. That's some serious stuff. The New Living says this, the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts. What's that? The word of God. He comes and takes it away from their hearts, and he prevents or he keeps them from believing and being saved. That's some serious stuff right there. Amen? You think about that. And that's why we pray for people that, first of all, that their heart would be receptive, that God would put laborers across their path, amen? Because again, when this incorruptible seed that lives forever, we want it to go into good ground so it does produce that harvest of first of all, salvation, so that they can come into the kingdom of God, just as we all have. Come out of the world system into God's kingdom and into his system, amen? Verse 13, it says, but the ones on the rock or the stony ground are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. And again, these are the emotional hearers. They come in, they get excited. You know, they can't believe this is the best thing that they've ever heard. They're in the praise and worship. They've never felt anything like this in their whole entire life, right? And then they go to work the next day, or their Uncle Billy Bob that, you know, has every answer to every question, but, you know, no fruit to line up, they start speaking death into them. You know, why are you going to a church like that? Or you know, all church wants is your money, and all they want is this, and all, right? They speak death into them. Amen? And they were emotional, and they were excited. They were filled with joy. But here's what Matthew 13, it says, they were offended for the word's sake, right? They took the word off of their life, that seed that went into their life, they ended up taking that off of their life, right? And then it ended its ability to work in their life. They got offended at the word's sake. And here's always an interesting thing to me. I always think, like, you know, it's not about judging people, but the Bible says this, good fruit, good root, right? Rotten fruit, rotten root. So it's like judging the fruit of somebody's life, their actions, what they're doing, their speech, what they're listening to. Just get on their Facebook account, right? Talk to their 3 to 5 closest friends. You'll tell immediately what the fruit is, and that'll tell you what the root is. And it just blows me away how people can come in and hear the word of God and get so excited about it, and then somebody that's just so mired in the world, and yet they want to still go that direction. The world is a powerful force, but praise God, God's word is even more powerful. It's incorruptible. Amen? Amen. Verse 14, it says, now the ones that fell on among the thorns, the thorny heart, are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. So they bring some fruit, but it doesn't mature and it doesn't grow up. The Bible says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. That word perfect means to mature. That's what we're supposed to constantly be doing on a daily basis, growing, expanding, getting a little bit better, right? In our faith, our family, our fitness, and our finances. Amen? Maturing, growing up, getting more healthy and so forth in every one of those areas. And again, we talked at length on what the thorns are that choke or suffocate the seed out, so I'll breeze through these as we get into the good ground. But the first one, again, is the cares of this world. That's the worries, the anxieties, or the concerns. And what an anxious world we live in, amen? I'll tell you a quick testimony. My 15-year-old son, Nicholas, he was going to do this basketball program and you know, just wasn't really feeling or whatnot, so we sat down and had a conversation last night, and we're just talking kind of about his future and what he's interested in and whatnot. And I said, Nick, you know, I said, I remember we used to go to parent-teacher conferences and you know, you kind of get fidgety in class and anxious and not want to answer anymore. And he goes, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. And I said, well, you know, what was the change and what was the transformation? And he said, at camp, he got delivered from that, and it was completely set free, amen? So that's a testimony not only that you can get set free of anxiety and worry and care, but that camp is a big deal. So if you've got a young person you're thinking about sending to camp, get them there, amen? It's life-changing for them, I promise you that. But this word cares of the world, that sentence there, it actually means it's a divided mind. Amen? It's like the word of God, it says this, but the world says this over here. And again, life and death, blessing and cursing, you get to choose which one you're going to meditate on, which one you're going to follow, which direction that you're going to go. Are you going to follow what the Word says, or are you going to follow what the world says? Amen? And there's got to be fruit as a result of that. The second part is the deceitfulness of riches. And again, I went into that at length, and I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that, because it's not just about money and about riches. It's there's nothing wrong with those things. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the love of money that's the problem. Amen? And what this is, it's the illusion that more money or more possessions or a title or a position or anything outside of God is going to bring you peace, power, or significance. It's an illusion. It's deceitful. It's deceptive. Amen? And the only one that doesn't know they're deceived is the one that's deceived. Isn't that interesting how that works? So again, deception. Amen? The deceitfulness of riches. And again, the deception there is that it's going to provide those stuff and things and that title and position, that it's going to provide what only God can provide. Love, joy, peace, all of those things. Those are found inside the Word of God and in your relationship with God. Amen? And the third thing is the pleasures of life or the desire of other things. And again, quickly, that's an appetite for things outside that which God would provide. And here's the deal. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to build your family and to have hobbies and do all of that stuff. However, if you've got such an appetite for that, you know, sports. I mean, SportsCenter's on replay over and over. You know, every 30 minutes, it's like, what are you trying to do? Memorize the thing while your family's sitting there? No, it's putting that stuff down, amen. Because if you have such a hunger for that and you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, you're deceived, amen. And that's a thorn that's going to choke the Word of God out of your life. Does that make sense? Amen. Verse 15. Here we go. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart. That word noble there in the King James, it's actually honest. So they've heard the word with an honest and good heart. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. So that's what we all want to do, right? We want to bear fruit. Fruit is results, right? And we want to have a harvest of results in our lives. So again, you know, if you're battling sickness or whatever, you know, it is that you're battling and so forth. You put the seed of the Word of God in you, and you end up having a harvest of healing in your life. Amen? Bills paid and needs met. You know, getting out of debt, that's a harvest of finances in your life. Being able to give, you know, into this building project or into the sanctuary remodel and all that stuff, that's a harvest, you know, that you're walking in your life, a harvest of protection. Amen? The Bible says that when you bring your tithes, that God will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Amen. You know, getting in that snowmobile accident a few months ago. I mean, miraculous that I walked away with a little bit of a bruised hip, and that was it. Literally tore the snowmobile basically in half. The devourer was rebuked for my sake. And that's a harvest. Amen. You know, it's maybe having marriage or relationship issues, or maybe it's, you know, your distance from your kids or whatnot. But again, you go into the Word of God and you put that seed into a good heart, and it starts to change you, and then it starts to change the environment around you, and it restores those relationships. Amen. There's many relationships in here that have been restored by the Word of God. Amen. That have stuck with it. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Yes, hallelujah. All the miracles we had in March. I mean, what an awesome deal. March for miracles, and now it's April for miracles. They're still coming in. Amen? Hallelujah. But the problem with this, again, is that only 25% of those that hear actually produce a harvest, and we need to change that. And whose choice is that? It's your choice. That's exactly right. So you get to choose what kind of ground that you want to have here. He mentions two words in that scripture that characterize this good ground. I'm going to read it again. The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with an honest and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Those two words are honest and patient. That's the character qualities of good ground. That's what makes a good heart. Amen? Is honesty and patience. That word patience is, you know, it's not, you know, just holding on for dear life and tying a rope or a knot on the end of the rope and patiently waiting there. No, it's actually cheerful endurance. It's persistence. It's not quitting. That's what the word patience means. You know, you think about the stony ground, that type of heart, you know, they got excited about the Word of God, excited about the things of God, but what did they do? They ended up quitting. When the Word was just going to start producing in their lives, they put the Word down and they ended up quitting. Amen? So again, it's not just passively waiting to see if something good, you know, crossing our fingers and hoping and praying. No, it's being persistent. Amen. I love this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. This is out of the Passion Translation. Really, just pay attention and listen to this. It says, though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. Say, I'm not crushed. You're not crushed at all, amen? At times, we don't know what to do. Pastor Vicky always says this, if you don't know what to do, do what you know to do, and then you'll know what to do. You got to stay in motion, amen? You got to be in motion doing something. God can't bless a parked car, amen? Just continue in motion. Hallelujah. It says, at times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. I'm going to say it again. Quitting is not an option. We keep this word going in our lives, amen? Quitting is not an option. Amen. Verse 9, it says, we are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, you can walk away from him, but he'll never walk away from you, amen? Amen. Quitting is not an option. We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he rises again, amen? He continues to get back up, amen? You're overcomers. You're more than conquerors. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are above and not beneath. Amen. You are the head and not the tail. We need to start acting like it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That needs to get in you. You're not lesser than. You're not weaker than. We're not better than the world, but we have something better than the world has. Amen. This incorruptible seed. Amen. They need what we have. We don't need what they have. It's not us and them. It's not against them. It's going to them in humility. But again, they need to come our direction. I always say it to my boys. You be the thermostat. Don't be the thermometer. You go in the room and you change the environment. If they're all cussing, you don't cuss. And they'll come up to your level, amen? Because we're above and not beneath, right? We are the head and not the tail. But again, we need to start acting like it, amen? Step into our rightful place of authority. Not in arrogance, but in confidence, and there's that tension there, amen? And be healthy with it, amen? So honesty and patience. We may be knocked down, but we're knocked out. We're not knocked out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. That's what we want. People want to see Jesus in us, amen? What's different about you? It's Jesus. That's the hope of glory, amen? It gives people hope. Amen. Again, the word patience is persistence. It's staying in there. It's being cheerful and having a good attitude while you do it. That's a big thing there. I always heard that attitude is like the aroma of your spirit. Amen. It's like the fruit, once again, of what's going on in your heart. That's your attitude. Do you have a good attitude when you're going through things, or do you have a rotten attitude? You're going to get through to the other side no matter what, amen? You might as well have a good attitude and enjoy the ride, hallelujah. But you got to believe that you're going to come out the other side, right? You got to believe that you've got victory, amen? And that's what keeps that attitude and keeps you going along the way. It's only temporary, amen? Amen. So the same characteristics that the good ground has, obviously there's these other three types of ground, they don't have those characteristics. Remember, we're talking about honesty and patience. So when we look at this wayside heart, this person, they ignored and they disrespected the seed. You know, that sower's out there and they're literally trampling on the seed because they ignore it. They don't respect the seed whatsoever. But you want to know what? Deep down, they know better. I was telling Ashley earlier today, I said, you know, they did this test with a bunch of military people. They did a lie detector test. And one of the questions that they asked was, do you believe in God? And every one of them that said no, they got the answer wrong. Even if they were claiming to be an atheist, the Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. You know you were created in God's image. The real you is your spirit, right? That has the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and this body is just this earth tent, right? Think about that. Amen? They knew better, but see, they were dishonest with themselves. So the difference between honesty and patience is dishonesty or being impatient. So that wayside here, they were simply dishonest. And if you keep ignoring the Word of God long enough, or even in our own lives, You know, you talk about having this fertile soil and on fire for God, and then you start drifting a little bit. I read this book by Napoleon Hill. It's called The Outwitting the Devil. It's really kind of goofy, but he's basically interviewing the devil. They make the devil, like, only tell the truth. And he said, my number one scheme is to get people to drift. I give them a little bit of what they want. If it's money they want, or lust that they want, or whatever it is, I just give them a little bit, and it takes them off and veers them off path. And you know the story. You know, if you're flying from, say, Florida up to Washington State, if you got off a half or 1 degree, you'll find yourself in Canada, you know, rather than being back on track. That drifting. Amen? Amen. You think about it. I heard Doc Barclay say one time, he said, you know, if you take your hand and, you know, the hairs on your hand here, if before I even touch my other hand, I can already start feeling it. It's sensitive. Amen. That's how our hearts are supposed to be. They're sensitive like this. But see, if, you know, when I'm weightlifting a bunch and I get calluses, I could literally take a pin and stick it in there and I can't even feel it. We got to make sure that our hearts don't become like that wayside or that stony heart where we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit anymore, and we can quench that voice, amen, when he's trying to tell us to do something, to make some sort of change. If that heart gets calloused up, eventually we quench that still small voice. He's always there, amen, but again, the voice of the world just gets louder and louder and louder versus the voice of the Holy Spirit, amen. That second kind, that stony heart, they simply got impatient and they quit. You know, the person that was that emotional here, right? Honesty and patience. They were impatient. They were impatient hearers. And that's the fix to that one. And finally, with the thorny heart, you know, the word, again, it took root in them, but then there was another voice that got their attention. You know, again, what the world says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? All the things that the world seeks after. All those things I'll bring unto you, amen? But the world says, no, just put that off to the side for a little bit. Focus on your career right now. You know, you're in school, you're trying to make money. You know, once you get that position and that title, then you can come back to this. You know, pastor, hey, I know you need help and working and whatnot, and man, I'll come serve, but you know what? When I got to come up over here first, and then I'll come back and serve. But you know what? You're building habit patterns. You're building habit patterns of the world, right? Once I make enough money, then I'll start giving. No, you've built habit patterns. It doesn't work that way. You know, again, I'm thankful when we came in, we didn't have any money because it was like, hey, tithing 10 bucks off of 100 was no big deal. But then it was 100 off 1,000, then 1,000 off 10,000. And, you know, and it just was a progression, but it was already our habit pattern. And we just grew along with it. And I would imagine people that come in that already have some financial success that it's more difficult that way. Amen? But it's not impossible. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Remember this, there's no fool in God. We're talking about honesty here, honesty and patience. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8, it says this, be not deceived, that's that word again, deception. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen? And it works in both directions, amen? You start sowing to that spirit, and I'm telling you what, you know, it's just like her Melissa's girlfriend and she, Melissa sharing her testimony with her, and you know, that gal can have the same exact thing, amen? She's just got to start getting some different seed, some right seed going into that ground, and it'll start changing everything, amen? Hallelujah. So how do we get this right? Well, when the Holy Spirit does bring you something that you need to change or correct or get back on path with, what do? You simply repent and get back on track with God. Repentance, it's not a bad word. It's getting back to the highest level, like the penthouse, repent. We're getting back to that highest level. Again, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We're repenting to get back up there, amen? That's all we're doing. So if you get off track, just simply repent, be quick to forgive, and get back up there, amen? Hallelujah, and God will meet you where you're at. So honesty and humility, these two words actually go hand in hand. Again, we're talking about honesty, but think about this word humility. So somebody comes up to you and they say, man, you know what? I've been seeing you. I've been noticing you've been kind of drifting. You've been worrying a lot. You've been talking a lot about the world. You know, you've been working a ton of hours. You know, we haven't talked about the word at all or anything like that. How does pride respond? It says, no, I'm not. I'm not doing any of those things. You know what? Mind your own business, right? Pride wells up in you. But see, that's dishonest because, see, your heart knows better. Even though your mouth says another thing, your heart knows better. What's humility say? It says, you know what, you're right. I'm going to change that. I'm going to repent and I'm going to get right back on track. Now, that doesn't mean we got to all run out and try to be the Holy Spirit in everybody's life. Amen. But see, sitting in here in this environment, when pastor's sharing the word or when the word's going forth, the Holy Spirit is talking to everybody. You know, that's why 50 or 100 or 200 or 300 people can all hear a different thing from the same message. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is working when you're in this environment. When you are in the Word of God and you're reading the Word of God, He's speaking to you. He's uncovering things, unveiling truths, showing you your future, showing you things you need to adjust and correct and change. And again, but we need to listen to that. Amen. We need to be humble. And the moment you do that, guess what happens? Grace floods in. You know this scripture. It's James chapter 4, verse 6. This is the last thought in the New King James. It says, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. That person that says, hey, I don't have any problems. Leave me alone. I'm good. God actually opposes that person. And you go, what? No, God's love, joy, and peace. Well, they're being opposed by their actions, right? If this is the path or the plan or the road that God has you on, and then you say, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do it my own way. Well, that's the place of blessing, of humility, of abundance, of prosperity, of everything that God has for you, but you've chosen your own way, amen? And as a byproduct, you're being opposed. Does that make sense? It's not God pushing you out. It's you pushing yourself out by your own choices, amen? We have a part to play in this. But here's the deal. He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Therefore, because of that, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Listen to this. And he was saying in chapter 3, he said, I'm talking to brothers and sisters. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your what?
Hearts.
Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember the cares of this world, a divided mind, double-minded. Purify your hearts. Take your hands off the world. Hold on to the Word of God. It'll see you through. I give you 100% guarantee that it will see you through if you don't give up on the Word of God. Amen? There's only winners and learners. There's no losers with this thing. Amen? You just haven't learned. You've went through it, but you got to learn some more, learn some more, learn some more. And then if you don't quit, you win. You got to stick with it. The only time you lose is when you quit. And we're not quitters, right? Amen. Hallelujah. That word grace there, it simply means help from God. That's all it is. You humble yourself and you ask God for help, and like a good father, he comes rushing in to help. Amen. But here's the thing. He doesn't help everybody. He doesn't help the proud. He resists the proud, like you said, because when you're out here on your own, he's a good father. And he honors your free will and your free choices. And I would imagine he stands back and he's, I love you, son or daughter. I love you so much. Just come back to me. You know, just do it my way. I always tell our three boys that. I'm like, listen, I don't go out and put gas in your car randomly because I dislike you. Amen? I do that because I love you and I want the best for you. And the Bible says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, one version says, you know, give the Holy Spirit, but give good gifts unto us. He's a good father, amen? And he takes care of his kids, but we've got to humble ourselves, amen? Remember the word that went forth at the beginning of the year from Brother Copeland? Correction, direction, protection, perfection, amen? God is maturing us up. He's growing us up. I've been growing up since the beginning of the year, and I'm excited about it. It's been challenging. Correction, direction, protection, perfection. It's a good thing. Lean into that. Amen? And let's grow, you know, as one body, and I know you all are. Because again, Wednesday night, we got a full house here, a hungry crowd. Amen? But again, if that heart gets hard, and if we go from, you know, this soft heart to the thorny heart, you know, back in the backwards direction, our heart gets toxic. And then when you put the Word of God in, it just cannot grow in that environment. It can't grow in that soil. And again, it's repenting and getting back on track. So, you know, if you're here tonight and you need to repent, it's just easy to do. God, forgive me. I made a mess out of this thing, and I'm ready to get back on track. And grace floods in, amen. But you got to mean business with him. That doesn't mean asking for forgiveness and then going back out and continually doing it again, right? It's having that right heart where, you know, you're going out and you're wanting to change. Amen. I've been there many times in my life. Read verse 15 one last time. It says, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. And again, you guys, the goal of all of us is to bring forth fruit up to 100-fold in our lives. That's not 100 times. How do you measure 100 times love? You don't. That means the seed brings forth the fullest potential. Amen. When the seed of the word of God goes in, the fullest potential of that word is produced in all of our lives. It's answered prayer. It's breakthrough in your lives. It's living an abundant life. It's having successful relationships. That's all that abundant life, amen. That's the 100-fold harvest. And I'm telling you, you can walk in that. I don't have it all figured out, but I guarantee you this. It's always way better following the word of God and his plan for your life rather than your own plan. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Did you get something out of the word of God tonight? Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.